big dog show up in January.
I can't tell you how proud I am, okay, to sit here and be your coach.
May take it off on the run. First down in field goal range and more. There goes May inside the 20 to the 17-yard line.
Said all along, you got to be willing to spill some blood.
He got bloody Milton Williams went over, he got bloody.
He tried to kiss Milton Williams, and he's bleeding, and there's never been a happier bleeder. Watch what you did to me here. Oh, there it is. There it is.
Manta, Henry's got it to the end zone. Touchdown, New England. Herbert hit to end it. Milton
proud of this team. You know, we never doubted it. Oh, that was fun, man. That was fun to get one at home and look forward to be back here next week.
We ain't done yet. Hey, pass on me. Pass on three. 1, 2, 3.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Good afternoon and welcome into a playoff edition Victory Monday. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens. Fitzy, been a long time since we could say that. 7 years plus since we've been able to say a playoff Victory Monday. Patriots 16, Chargers 3. Drake May 1-0 in the postseason, but more importantly, Zach Hardcore, Milton Williams in that defense, 1-0 in the postseason, 2026 January. Rolling into next week where they'll take on the winner of tonight's game in Pittsburgh between the Texans and
Let's
the Steelers.
Steelers.
If you're a Patriots fan, you're also, for the next, 12 hours or so, you're also a Steelers
fan. Play Renegade.
Fan.
That's all. Wave your terrible towel at home and play Renegade. You want the Steelers next Sunday night at the Razor.
Pour some ketchup out. Wave your yellow whatever you got in your house that you can find to look like a terrible towel. Because there were some aspects of last night's game that make it even more concerning that you may deal with the Texans. But we'll get to that as the show and the week goes on. We need to start with I do say fun football game. I'm not going to say it had the most plays of any game we've ever seen. And I'm going to say it was a little slow at times. Dan Ball, who's making faces behind the glass.
Your definition of fun is an interesting one.
Winning is fun. I've always told that to every kid I ever coached. Winning is fun.
Well,
and
Joe Mazzulla would disagree because that's a cop out. And B, that was a slop fest. Don't try to spin this as that was a super fun football game.
Dan, you know what it was? It was the classic definition of a rock fight. That was like just two nasty defenses, one defense a little nastier, a little more rugged than the other, just bearing down and getting it done in the mud. And one team had to emerge victorious, and it seems the Pats were stronger and nastier. And Dan, you've been around this sports world long enough, just like Andy and I talked about at length on the postgame show last night. That was a vintage, quintessential early 2000s, early part of the Patriots' double dynastic run playoff victory.
That was right according to the old school Patriot script, which I did enjoy. Sorry, Andy, go ahead.
I would just say the difference was the script was the same, but the script didn't include the cast of characters that did back then, when you knew you had literally Hall of Fame talents on the football field for the defense. You knew you could count on that week in and week out. And yes, games were over at 6-3, 9-3, just like it felt like it was last night, where it was more, Spillane's back and Milton Williams is back and Harold Landry's back and the Chargers O-line stinks. We can do this. Our weakness can beat their weakness. But I want to go to the text line real quick, 617-779-7937. Stanley, Dan Ball's not the only guy behind the glass who gets to talk. Do you know any reason why the very first text to the show we got would be in all caps, 207, Stiz don't know Ball? What do you think that's about?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I went with my gut. I picked the Chargers. I thought the lights would be too bright for our guy, Drake May. He proved me wrong. The whole team proved us wrong. Wasn't a shootout. The offense wasn't a high-flying offense, but they got the job done. I ate my words. And trust me, I heard from all our listeners over the weekend who did not have nice things to say about me. But, I got to go with my gut.
What did they
say?
You
were only off by 28 points when it came to the Chargers, Stiz.
What did they say that wasn't nice?
I'm not allowed to swear on the program.
Wow, they were that passionate. But, Stiz was wrong. The rest of us were right. Now, we didn't necessarily pick the game. I think some of us thought there was going to be an over and some points might be scored.
early on, there were as many mistakes as there were plays by the quarterbacks in this football game, Justin Herbert and Drake May. But then Drake May, second half, 140 passer rating, completing, making some of the throws, still missing. Missed Hooper for the touchdown, but then hits Hunter Henry for the touchdown, and you end up with a relatively comfortable win. Did you ever think, after the very first couple series and plays, you throw an interception inside the 10-yard line, obviously you're like, oh no. But after that stop, after that initial kind of back and forth, Fitzy, did you ever think the Chargers were going to win this football game?
I thought they could take the lead. When the Patriots made it 9-3, I thought there's a chance the Chargers could finally orchestrate a touchdown drive, and it would be 10-9, and then it would be comeback and winning time for Drake. And he had done that a few weeks prior in Baltimore, so I had all the confidence in the world that they could win. But I did think the Chargers would be a little more game, a little more competitive on offense. But as discussed on the post game, and as people have bandied about last night and all day today, that Chargers offense was as meek and discombobulated as the Patriots defense was ferocious and unstoppable.
So there were a lot of plays early on, good and bad, for both teams. Both quarterbacks, I'm not sure, are going to send this game film for like their career retrospectives or any video tributes
to
themselves.
Yeah, but you already have Drake in the Hall of Fame anyway. Why does he need to submit a video?
Yeah, and he won. He's now 1-0 in the postseason. I believe that's all that matters because, and we will get to this later, I watched a lot of football this weekend, the National Football League. I saw a lot of quarterbacks who made mistakes, dug holes, could have won games, ended up kicking games away, had to come back. You know, a guy like Trevor Lawrence, who some people were telling me was playing the position as well as anybody in the game late in the season. Mm-hmm. You know, he kind of kicked away an opportunity down in Jacksonville. Oh, Matthew Stafford, they're going to give him the MVP. I saw him in Carolina, and I was like drafting tweets to send out about how he fell on his face and looked like crap in Carolina. And then he threw a perfect ball to the tight end for the game-winning touchdown, and I have to save those drafts for use elsewhere. Those won't be reaching the light of day. But this was a weekend where if you came into the weekend thinking anybody's got a shot in the NFL, anybody can win, anybody can lose, I think you feel that exact same way. What was the stat? You know, up until yesterday, every, you know, the team leading at the two-minute warning was not the team that won any of the games. They were all one-score games throughout the totality of the weekend until yesterday in the Patriots game. So, you know, it is as wide open as we thought it was. And Fitzy, there are warts on every team. And yes, that includes your New England Patriots. But I will not go so far as to say, 207, yesterday's game showed us why he is unfortunately not the MVP this year, and that's okay. Okay, so This weekend of football showed me why everybody's not the MVP. If we're going to judge just on this weekend, then Stafford can't win it, then Trevor Lawrence can't win it. Christian McCaffrey, mediocre. Like, I don't know who you give it to if you judge it on this weekend. And Drake May made the plays he needed to with his legs to win the football game. Damn ball.
Can I also extend it and say this weekend showed that I'm not sure who the Super Bowl champion is? Because did you see a dominant team out of any of this other than, honestly, other than what the Patriots defense did?
No.
And that's
no.
why, if you're going to ask me my big takeaway, and we're going to get into this game because I thought there were a lot of sneaky big plays that decided this game, 2, 3, 4 plays that decided this game. But I feel better now about the possibility that the Patriots could win the Super Bowl than before this game started. And you can tell me they turned the ball over. Ted Johnson's stat. Oh, when Drake May has 3+ sacks and a turnover, they lose, right? Not so fast, my friend. He had 2 turnovers and 6 sacks, and he still won the game. So take that stat, throw it out the window. This weekend made me, Fitzy, feel better about any team, and that includes your New England Patriots and their ability to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because if their defense is going to play like that, again, the Chargers are not the most offensively dynamic team in the NFL by any stretch, but fun little stat for everyone out there that's saying like, the Chargers offense was so gimpy, the Pats, all they had to do was show up and they could roll them. The Chargers, no team converted more third downs in the NFL this season than the Chargers offense. The New England Patriots held them to
Solomon, they won.
Out of 10.
Yep.
1 out of 10, which is an absolutely spectacular number. And also, Justin Herbert got hit so many times. Like, how many? 18 pressures last? Like, an insane amount of pressures put on them. And the Patriots, you know, all season long, Andy, we've been having all these whole, like, oh, you know, Drake May was the first quarterback to throw this many yards at this time of night with the moon in this position for this many touchdowns, whatever. The Patriots' performance last night in terms of third downs allowed, sacks, pressures, and points, they are 1 of 1 in NFL postseason, not just since they realigned and went to seven teams with a super wild card weekend. It was a one-of-one all-time performance. That's how fast, that's how ferocious, that's how game they were last night at the Razor.
So it is a Patriots Monday here on WEEI Afternoons. That means scheduled to talk to Marcus Jones at 3:30. He's usually pretty locked in. Loosely scheduled to talk to Drake May around 4. It'll probably be sometime after Marcus Jones. We'll talk to those guys because they were keys in this game. Drake May, sure, he had the interception. Sure, he had a couple fumbles. He also ran really well and made that one throw he needed to make to Hunter Henry. And Marcus Jones was a contributing winning factor from start to finish. And I want to start right there because I think that Marcus Jones tackle following the turnover from Drake May inside the 10-yard line, the 2-yard line, third and goal, Justin Herbert, who goes what? What's he go, like 6'6", 250, something like that?
He's not small.
No. He is one-on-one with Marcus Jones, the end zone in his sights, and Marcus Jones, who tells us all the time, he meets those situations thinking he's the bigger guy, right? He doesn't see little guy versus big guy there. He sees big guy versus big guy, and he undercut Justin Herbert. They go for it on fourth down. That falls incomplete. Patriots take over. They avoid the points on the early turnover. I think that was as big a play as there was in this game by Marcus Jones at the goal line.
That was, if there was to be a play of the game in a game that was kind of bereft of dynamic or explosive plays, that was the play of the game. Justin Herbert takes that ball in, and it was strange that they tried to run the ball in three times with the quarterback, but he is one of the better running quarterbacks in the NFL and had a bunch of yards and a bunch of first downs this year. Tries three runs, then the fourth down pass that doesn't work. You're coming off that interception. You want to talk about sucking the wind out of your sails and flattening all the beers at the ballpark last night. If Justin Herbert's able to get in the end zone following that pick, you have a completely different game, a completely different first half, and then Drake May starts to maybe feel postseason pressure on his shoulders. Marcus Jones saved his bacon with that tackle and turned the game right back around in the Pats' favor.
This is crazy, but no one can prove me wrong. I think if Justin Herbert runs over or around Marcus Jones into the end zone there and they go up 7-0 after the turnover inside, I think the Chargers win this football game. I'm a big butterfly effect guy, and I think games dramatically change on big plays and early plays. I think the Chargers might win that football game if they go up 7-0 there. And instead, you get the ball back, and then the second play that I think is a sneaky big play. So you stop them on downs at the 2, and you take over on the 2, and you toss it to Ramondre Stevenson, and all he does is go 48 yards to the 50. I think that changed everything there, because if you take over on the 2, Fitzy, that's a great goal line stand. You didn't allow any points. But if you don't go anywhere and you are forced to punt out of your own end zone, and then maybe the Chargers take over on like the 47, well, you're still playing catch up. You're still backed up. It's still advantage Chargers. But that immediate play from Ramondre Stevenson, who I continue to say might be the best offensive player on this team over the last month, he flips the field, gets you to midfield, and okay, now you're feeling better. You're not backed up. I think that was a huge play there in conjunction with the Marcus Jones stop.
Yeah, but my favorite part or aspect of Drake May's game last night wasn't when he started hitting longer like the long pass down the side, left sideline to Booty, the fourth down conversion to, I think it was it to Diggs or Booty. Oh, it was Kyle Williams. Excuse me. Great pass. The smartest plays he made was when the Chargers pass rush, and they got to him because they got 5 sacks and a whole bunch more pressures last night. And we'll talk about Will Campbell and Jared Wilson and the work that's going to have to get put in by a very sleepless Doug Marrone this week on the left side of that line. When he would, like, when Ramondre would just chip somebody, go out, and Drake would take the profit, the short action. Just get it to your guy who's been your most dynamic playmaker the past month. That's great quarterbacking doesn't mean the 37-yard scramble, which was awesome. Doesn't mean a 50-yard touchdown pass or hitting Hunter Henry for 35. It means sometimes just taking what's available and letting your playmakers play.
And that is going to be something we're going to talk about probably more as the week goes on. Where are you with Drake May? Holding on to the ball too long, which he certainly did. He had a couple fumbles. The worst one was the lost fumble because he felt the pressure, avoided the strip sack, and then was like, oh, I avoided it, so that gives me more time. I'm going to try to throw it again. And that guy, Oa or Oe or whatever, then
Ofa,
gets the sack the second time. And I struggle with this, and I do want to get more into this as the week goes on, because I don't think you want to coach all of that out of Drake May. How many times have we talked about, oh, he slides up in the pocket and then flicks it down the field for like a 17-yard gain? So if you're going to praise those plays, every once in a while he's going to hold on to it too long. He's going to be in danger. He's going to try to make a throw, and it's going to be a strip sack. So that balance is a continued evolution in his game and his relationship. And I know Vrabel on the Greg Hill show this morning was talking about like the idea that, you know, sometimes just punt, sometimes just, you know, go down and just punt. You know, you're not going
to fight another day. Yeah. So you're going to get more possessions during the game. And Andy, you're not going to win in the postseason, or you're not going to survive very long and realize your dream if you're going to turn, if your quarterback's going to average two turnovers a game. Like, that's maybe one, but two turnovers or more a game, that's the bleep that's going to get you beat.
And that's why my last sneaky big play, and you'd never think a guard giving up a strip sack would have the sneaky positive big play, but after Jared Wilson gives up another sack on Drake May, he's just standing around like, hey, what should I? Oh, the ball's bouncing around. I should probably fall on that ball. Actually made a sneaky athletic play to recover that fumble, because that felt like, Fitzy, that was in scoop and score range for the Chargers.
Yeah.
And that would have been a massive opportunity for the game to swing in their direction. So that Jared Wilson didn't play well. Will Campbell didn't play well, but nope. That fumble recovery by your left guard, your rookie left guard, prevented, you know, more dire straits, something really catastrophic from happening there. But we're going to continue to break down Drake May, the Patriots, the offensive line, the defensive front. Milton Williams, was he shot out of a cannon in the finale? Yes, he was, and he continued wreaking havoc against the Chargers. And maybe my MVP of the night, and it's not a player, and it's not one of the coaching options we listed on our votes last week. It's not Josh McDaniels and his little trickeration. It's not Mike Vrabel and his bloody lip. It's Zach Hardcore. I thought he was the best coach on the field last night for what he did with his defensive front and the schemes and the blitzes. They blitzed almost 50% of the time. The games up front, they were getting after it. Marcus Jones was getting after it at times. So Zach Core was phenomenal. 617-779-7937. How you like them Patriots? How you like that win? Postseason victory, moving on to face either the Texans or the Steelers next Sunday at Gillette Stadium. Oh, how'd you like that crowd? I'd like y'all to defend yourself. You were in the stands. If you were sitting there, did you feel loud? Were you yelling as loud as you could? Or can you be better? Because there's a certain number one wide receiver and leader of this team that thinks the crowd could indeed be better. 617-779-7937. Patriots Monday here on WEEI Afternoons. In about an hour, we'll talk to Marcus Jones. After that, Drake May and your phone calls. All that next here on WEEI. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Patriots beat the Los Angeles Chargers last night at Gillette Stadium in the AFC Wild Card round. The final score was 16-3 as New England picked up its first playoff victory since the 2018 season. The Patriots led 9-3 through three quarters on three made field goals from Andy Borogalis. New England's offense would put the game out of reach at the 9:45 mark of the fourth quarter as a seven-play, 80-yard drive was capped off by a Hunter Henry 28-yard touchdown reception. Patriots quarterback Drake May finished the day 17 of 29 with 268 passing yards, a touchdown, and an interception. He also ran it 10 times for 66 yards. In the game, May became the youngest player in NFL history with 250 or more passing yards and 50 or more rushing yards in a playoff win. New England will host the winner of tonight's contest at Gillette on Sunday at either 3 or 6:30 p.m. Tonight, Wild Card Weekend concludes with an AFC matchup as the 5th-seeded Texans visit the 4th-seeded Steelers. Kickoff is at 8:15. Coverage via Westwood One begins here on WEEI at 7 p.m. From around the NFL scoreboard, Matthew Stafford and the Rams scored a go-ahead touchdown with 38 seconds on the clock to beat the Panthers 34-31. The Bears came back from a 21-3 deficit to beat the Packers 31-27. Josh Allen threw a touchdown and ran for two more as the Bills beat the Jaguars 27-24. And Brock Purdy's 262 passing yards led the 49ers to a road win over the Eagles 23-19. The Celtics are in Indiana tonight to take on the Pacers. Tip-off is at 7:30. Boston has alternated wins and losses over the last four games, most recently losing to the Spurs at the Garden on Saturday. Jaylen Brown is doubtful with lower back spasms. Sam Hauser is questionable with right hamstring tightness. And Josh Minot has been ruled out with a left ankle sprain. The Bruins swept their two games over the weekend. They stomped the Rangers 10-2 on Saturday with seven of the goals coming from Murat Huznadinov and Pavel Zacha. They then beat the Penguins 1-0 yesterday afternoon. Jonas Korpisalo made 27 saves in the shutout effort. And over the weekend, now former Red Sox third baseman Alex Bregman signed with the Cubs on a five-year, $175 million contract that includes a full no-trade clause. Make this year your year. The year you stopped saying, I can't, I tried, I'll do it later. Choose Awaken 180 weight loss and join the thousands who have said, I did it. No meds, no gimmicks, only results at Awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Patriots roll on to the divisional round of the playoffs. That was Drake May talking about his performance, which was admittedly not a thing of beauty. There were, you know, certainly he missed Hooper. Hell, Efton Chisholm missed him on their little trick play.
Oh, my God. That place would have exploded if Efton Chisholm hit Drake May on a double reverse option touchdown pass. My God, that place would have popped.
All I could think of in my head was asking Drake May, are you worried you're going to get lit up if you catch a pass down the field by a safety or something and see how he would react? I'm bigger than most safeties. Yes, Dan Ball.
Can I ask you and Andy, I'll start with you because Josh McDaniels is your boy. Did you like that play call?
Because it didn't work, not really, but it was also there for the taking. And if you listen to Mike Vrabel this morning, they practiced it all week. That was the area they wanted to use it, the situation. They got the look they wanted. And it was there. It should have been a big play, maybe a touchdown, with an athlete like Drake May catching the ball in space. And he was wide open. I know Collinsworth said, oh, maybe he's supposed to keep going, and Chisholm didn't know. You know, they weren't on the same page, proverbially, which is weird. Because
he just overthrew it. Like, Chisholm didn't set his feet. He kind of...
He was under pressure, too.
Yeah, he's under a little bit of pressure there as well. So he throws off of his front foot, doesn't set, and just kind of overthrows him. Dan, if I'm to answer in accordance as well or in succession, yes, I did, because it was open. It was there. Drake also had 20 yards of open space and real estate in front of him. There's a chance he might have scored. Again, like, holy smokes. Like, and also, he's a little more athletic than Brady, so I don't think we see Brady hurting his knee like he did against the Titans in 2018 if Drake catches that pass.
Yeah, no, he's more athletic. He's younger. And so, Dan Ball, based on the tone of the question, you didn't care for the call from my buddy Josh McDaniels?
No, there were two things that I didn't like. Okay. One was that you were having a lot of success on the ground in that drive. You had 5 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards, 6 yards before an incomplete pass to Diggs, and then that incomplete pass. So when you've got 4 yards to go for a first down, when your offense isn't really clicking yet, I don't love a trick play in that spot on a third down call. And guys, Efton Chisholm in his first career playoff game, and I don't even know how many actual regular season games he ended up getting into this year, but it's only a handful, throwing that pass. It was a little too cute for me in that situation.
It's Patriots 101. And the situation is, when you're going to use it, you're not going to probably use it in a longer yardage situation because they're going to be playing back and they're going to be preparing. Like, they were preparing for maybe the run game, shorter situation. They're running the ball, that type of. So the mindset you're talking about of why you should run is the mindset of the defense thinking why you should run and therefore may be susceptible to an opportunity like this. But Fitzy, I actually told Dan Ball off air, this is kind of right out of the Patriots' historic game. They roll trick plays out in the postseason. This is Patriots 101. Josh McDaniels, they always have a hand. Sometimes when they, quote-unquote, need them against the Ravens, you're down a couple scores. And sometimes it feels like this is just part of what they think is postseason football and big plays and momentum and opportunities.
Yeah, catching people off guard, showing them something that they've never seen, something that they couldn't have prepared for or planned for. The only argument against it would be that they kind of ran a few trick plays towards the end of the season.
Yep.
Some may feel that was tipping their hand, that they were really going to go deep in the bag and open the playbook up in the postseason. But it's hard to argue. I mean, you can argue with the result because he wasn't able to complete the pass, and it was just goes down as, you know, Chisholm is the other quarterback in the box score. He went 0-for-1. But, man, it's right there. I didn't hear from him postgame. I haven't read anything, but I'm sure he said, will say, or will continues to think, damn it, I should have hit that pass.
Absolutely. Well, and I also think maybe Drake should. We'll ask Drake about it a little over an hour, hour and a half from now on a Patriots Monday. Ask him what kind of went wrong there. Should he have kept running? Because, You know, that was Collinsworth's assertion. But the lone touchdown in the game was indeed Drake May to Hunter Henry, the old reliable, after he missed Austin Hooper a little bit earlier and showed some nice sort of athleticism, slid to the left, threw the ball. And speaking of that play, we'll go to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Pete in the car would like to talk about that touchdown. What's up, Pete?
Oh, what a glorious Monday, huh, boys?
Absolutely.
So I have to tell you, I'm born and raised in Wisconsin. I turned 20 when Brett Favre came on. I've been super spoiled with, you know, MVP-level quarterback play in my two favorite teams like my entire adult life.
Yeah, you have.
I think people are underplaying just how difficult and great that throw was to Hunter Henry. When you slide to your left as a quarterback and if you open up and throw the ball, your tendency is to be less accurate. And that ball couldn't have been any more perfect. And I will remember that throw amongst the throws that I remember from my quarterbacks that define them in, like, playoff games and wins. It was an amazing throw, and people just don't understand just how incredible that throw was because he makes it look so easy. So easy.
All right, thanks for the call, Pete. How impressive do you think that throw was, Fitzy? Was that an iconic, memorable throw?
I would say in terms of iconic Patriots postseason throws, it's not – I wouldn't say it's number one, but I'd put it up there as a hell of a throw. When you watch, you know what it was, Andy? It's not the TV angle you saw it at. It's the replay angle when they had the camera, the Skycam 4K behind Drake, and then you get to see what his POV kind of was and where and how he had to throw it, and that he just got it over like the tips of the extended fingers of Derwin James makes it that much more special. But I mean, the divisional round game against the Ravens between the Edelman pass and then the game winner to LaFell, I maintain is probably the best ever thrown postseason pass in Patriots history.
Yeah, it was a good throw. Because of who Drake is, I think he has much better in him. Hell, we saw better throws over the course of the weekend from other quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford, Caleb Williams. Like, there were some pretty great throws.
Well, Caleb Williams made the best. It's going to be tough for anyone to top that pass on 4th and 8 in the postseason.
But Drake May, his performance. So you look at the first half, 6 of 15, 95 yards, an interception. And then in the second half, he comes out 11 of 14, a buck 73, a touchdown, a 142 passer rating. And I saw this, and this kind of surprised me because there's been a lot of good quarterbacks, young quarterbacks. And again, this game didn't seem like something you're going to say, yeah, remember the first start of his career? It was the greatest thing in postseason history. Drake May is the youngest player in NFL history with 250 yards passing and 50 yards rushing in a playoff victory. So, Fitzy, if I asked you to grade Drake May's first career postseason start, what grade are you giving him?
I'm going to give him a B-. He got the win, and he made the throw to Hunter Henry and a couple other big throws, the fourth down throw to Kyle Williams, the checkdowns to Ramondre that I was so proud of him for throwing and impressed by, but sacked 5 times. Whether or not that's just a product of the line, he did go down 5 times, hit a couple other times, and the pick was on him. Flat out, straight up, like that was his fault. He threw the ball too low and into a crowd, and he got strip sacked. So I was thinking even C plus, almost a B if I was going to be generous, but I think B, like an 82, B, 81, 82, B minus.
Yeah, I think I'd be more in the C plus range. And as I said to you post game when we did our thumbs up, thumbs down, I had Drake May the runner on thumbs up, and I had Drake May the passer on thumbs down. And that's the interception. Oh, yeah. That's
37-yard run too, Andy. Right?
Yes, he ran. I thought he ran exceptionally well, and not just the physical act of picking up 37 yards, but being decisive, sliding, diving for the sticks at one point. And I think it was also magnified in juxtaposition to Justin Herbert. I thought Herbert sucked as a runner. I thought he was indecisive. He wanted to run. Then he saw they were kind of spying him. Then he tried to flick the ball and he would end up flicking it into the crowd. I thought he was sneaky bad as a runner. Yes, Dan Ball.
I think there's a larger conversation to have about Justin Herbert at this point, guys.
The
L7 on the top of your head is one thing. There's an argument to be had about a broken quarterback in general. A guy who's starting to see the Sam Darnold ghosts, who's starting to feel pressure that may or may not be there. I know that his offensive line was terrible, but didn't it feel like some of those issues were self-inflicted in addition to the offensive line being bad?
His offensive line was B beyond terrible.
Yeah.
I didn't realize exactly how banged up and how bad they were until the game got started. And the guy was just basically trying to make a play in a jailbreak all night. And look, I saw the memes this morning, the one with Herbert standing in the mirror and it was Joel Embiid looking back at him like, I get it. You know, I'm more of a Justin Herbert fan slash defender or apologist than probably anyone else in this room right now. I think he's got the arm, the talent, the will, everything. We've seen him at his best. He's really, really good. But this team did him zero favors last night. And you can't just do it by yourself, guys.
Let's listen to Justin Herbert when he was asked a question about sort of figuring out postseason football.
Realizing that obviously the emotions are still raw. What is your confidence in yourself that you will be able to get over this hump eventually, get a playoff win, make a playoff run?
I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet, and hasn't happened, so we'll have to reevaluate and see what happens.
See, that's my thing. I think this kid was absolutely a baller coming out of college. He's had some incredible performances, and he's not too far gone to where you can't recoup some of the incredible talent he has, but Andy, that's a broken quarterback.
Yes.
That's a broken man right now.
It's not quite to the Joe Burrow level, the things we heard Joe Burrow talking about the final 2 or 3 weeks of the regular season, but it's close. It's trending in that direction.
Well on its way.
And I saw somebody compare Andrew Luck quit after 6 years, and that's where the point where you're getting to with Herbert here. And I will say the hit that he took from my guy Ponder on that fumble was like a moment of, do I want to do this anymore? I'm evaluating my life choices. I didn't know this, but he has a very attractive lady friend to go home to.
Yeah, where the hell have you been?
His life when he's not under constant duress from his patchwork line and his offensive coordinator, who, by the way, respect for the career, but his recent postseason failings are magnified by just how minimal their output was last night.
So we'll continue to get into this comparison because Justin Herbert falls to 0-3, has a bad game, wasn't even his worst playoff game. So he's played three times and that crap you saw yesterday wasn't his worst effort. That was previous to this season. And now you have Drake May, who some are being critical of. I told you he's not an MVP candidate. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but he's 1-0 in the postseason and he'll be playing next weekend. He'll be playing in the divisional round in his first trip to the postseason. The quarterback play, the game, the big plays, the coaching, all that and more up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
I don't know.
You know, proud of this team. You know, we never feel like, you know, we never doubted it. We never doubted it. You know, it didn't look, you know, it wasn't pretty, that's for sure. But this defense was so fun to watch. You know, congrats to them. Man, it was so fun to watch. They won the game for us. I didn't throw very well tonight. You know, need to be better. But, you know, we do what we had to do, and that's what it takes in the playoffs. And just proud of this team. That was fun, man. That was fun to get one at home and look forward to be back here next week.
That was Drake May in his post-game press conference before he was off to play ping pong with his brothers till 2 a.m. I hope he was listening to Six Rings, Fitzy, while they were playing ping pong in the basement or a game room. Like, put Six Rings on. Listen to us. We're nice. Yeah,
especially considering that we were giving him his flowers and telling him what a great job he did. Come
Absolutely.
On
so that was Drake May talking about the win. Home win, fun win, 16-3, you advance. Fitzy, everything we thought we knew about the New England Patriots after
was
seven.
Was all a lie.
I kind of feel like that. After I watched last night's game, I come away from that game saying Drake May's up and down, turnovers, but can make some plays. The running backs are the best part of the offense. The offensive line is shaky at best. The defense is really good. They're going to lead the way to victory. That performance last night feels like what I thought the football team might be in August projecting into September. My preseason belief that the running backs are good, the line is bad, Drake is questionable, and the defense is veteran-based. And that team... The problem is we didn't see that team a lot this year, right?
Nope.
We started to question the defensive front with Milton Williams out and Landry hurt. The issues with Stevenson and Henderson was a slow starter. Stevenson disappears for a while. And that opened the door for basically Drake May in the passing game to take over. And they were this like key to the offense. So is the Patriots team evolving? Is it regressing? Was this just a strict game plan? You know, the old Belichickian, we're going to be multiple and we're going to do whatever it takes on any given night to win. What do we make of this performance that is probably not much of what we expected?
This is a pivot and plan to me. They did what they needed to do, given the strength of what the other team had, how they played, and what they were good at versus the strengths of the Patriots. So they knew they could run. You could run against the Chargers a little bit. At least, I mean, their run defense was eighth best. Their pass defense, excuse me, was fifth best. They were the fifth best defense overall. So that was probably the toughest defense the Patriots faced all season long. So they took advantage of what they could. They took their shots when they thought they could. And they utilized what was given to them as opposed to trying to, and this was a little bit of a narrative we had on our show last week that I pushed back against, trying to just do what you do and like, hey, you know, we're the Drake made deep ball society of the NFL and you're just going to have to deal with it. Like, well, that's probably not going to work out that well for you with those two great safeties and their young spry cornerbacks. But mixing and matching the way that they did and riding the hot hand of Ramondre, who's been their best player the last month of the year offensively, that was smart work. So it was a game plan based offense, which we know from Josh McDaniels and his two seasons now. He's almost been an offensive coordinator for two seasons worth of playoff games. I think the guy's got pretty decent experience. That was pivot and plan, not a regression. And you're right. It did remind us more of what we thought they were going to be early in the season. Lean on the ground game, play action, let Drake evolve. Drake's postseason confidence will build if they're able to continue to establish the ground game.
I also think it's something good to put on tape, both sides of the ball. Zach Kaur blitzing, I think it was 46% of the time. Now, is that game plan? Is that an evolving defense and philosophy? Who knows? But if you play Pittsburgh or you play the Texans, they have to prepare for all of it. They have to prepare for offensively all of it. Are you going to be run-based? Is it Ramondre Stevenson as the straw that stirs the Patriots' offensive drink? Like, I think this is, in a way, good, but I find it interesting because I agree with you with Josh and what they've always done and all that, but it was a week in which we heard ad nauseum, no new mac and cheese, no new macaroni, don't change the macaroni recipe on Thanksgiving Day, don't mess with it, and then they kind of went out and messed with it a little bit.
Well, but it's not like they pivoted to an RPO team or they didn't go to the wishbone. I mean,
well, no, but excuse me, they did actually run an option play.
They did, and guess what? It worked. It was awesome.
Yeah, so you know that whole no new macaroni. So we have Efton Chisholm throwing to Drake May. We're running the option down the right side with a fake pitch, like he's freaking Tommy Frazier at Nebraska back in the '90s. And I was told there'd be no new macaroni. That felt like a little bit of new macaroni.
Well, they had that. They just hadn't. They had that macaroni in the pantry. They just hadn't cooked it yet.
Oh, so it's old macaroni. 617-779-7937. Let's work in Jay in Portland, who has a thought on what the Pats look like. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. What a win. Hart, what a great question. And they are evolving in front of our eyes.
There you go.
Seriously. I'm not kidding. After what we saw in that first half and what happened in the second half, you got to figure things out. And I think they got punched in the throat a little bit. Drake had a tough time in the first half, and then coaching staff, Efton Chisholm, special teams, Marcus Jones, they all stepped up in certain ways. You know, they're finding different ways to win the game, not each quarter, but each possession. They're finding different ways, and it was fun to watch last night. I wasn't scared at all that first half. I wasn't. I felt very comfortable that they would do something in the second half to, you know, come away with a win. But I didn't know, and the way they did it, that pass to Henry, oh, my God. But I think to answer your question, they are evolving.
Thanks for the call, Jay. Mm-hmm. So the Patriots are evolving. Now, I will say the evolution, the Chargers have something to do with this, only resulted in 16 points. This is an offense that we had thought had reached kind of the roll out of bed and be high 20s, knocking on the door of 30s type points. And again, very good defense they went against, maybe best all-around team they went against, and they were at 9-3 in the third quarter. And
but they
score.
Held them in check. I mean, they dominated them. I mean, you scored as many points as you needed to win last night. Like, there was no doubt. At 16-3, when they hit the touchdown to Hunter Henry, game was over.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I kind of thought the game was already basically over, but you're right. When you're in a one-possession game, weird ball bounce, something happens, it's not really over. When you made it 16-3 there, you mm-hmm. legitimately closed the door and said this game is over. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls. Drake May, 1-0 in the postseason. How you feeling about your MVP candidate, second-year quarterback? He's young. He made some plays, made some mistakes. He'll learn from it. We'll talk to him, hopefully, in about an hour from now about everything that went on last night. Justin Herbert, is he a broken quarterback? Are you taking a little victory lap of putting maybe a nail in his postseason coffin type thing early in his career? Up next here, though, on WEEI Afternoons, it is 3 o'clock, and it's time for the three-point stances. And you will not be surprised to find out that Dan Ball and Fitzy are mad about the same thing. And it's certainly not the Patriots. It rhymes with Red Sox, and it has to do with spending and Bregman. That's all next. 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons.